So, how's everyone's week been? Good? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways? A little bit of all, right? So, I've had a good week. Today's topic, you can start that slide up there, involves a four-letter word that nobody likes to do. Wait. Right? Who likes to wait in this room? I don't. I don't. I'll be honest. When I go to a waiting room, I'm constantly thinking, when are they going to call my name? How can I fill the time with nothingness while I'm waiting for my turn? And the Lord has brought me to something this week that I'm kind of excited, but you can do the next slide. I thought, every time I have to wait for something, I'm always wondering, why am I, in parentheses, not over there? Isn't that what we do? This fall, Maddie and I were at an oral surgeon's, and her appointment was at 10:30, and I expected it to start at 10:30. And it was 5 minutes went by, and other people kept getting called back, and I kept going like this, why am I not over there? Or why is she not over there? And so we just sat and we wasted time, didn't we? And sometimes we can think that waiting for God is a little bit of like we're wasting time. But it's not the case. So our verse today, if you are able to read Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I like to skip over the wait for the Lord and just go straight to the strength and the taking heart. Anybody else with me? Who likes, you gotta be strong. I have a grandfather that often said, where there's a will, there's a way. And I accidentally have taken that on as my motto. Where there is a will, there is a way. If I can't get it done, I'll figure out a way to get it done. There's something called leverage. If something's too heavy, I have this 700-pound piano in my house, and I wanted to move it. And so what I did is I propped myself up on a wall, and I used my legs to move it. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. So I've got an illustration for us. I've got strength here. This is strength, right? No, that says courage. Strength. We try and stand strength on our own, in our own strength. At least I do. And if you all don't, then we'll switch places and I'll come learn from you. And then we also try and do courage. But it doesn't take much for them to fall, right? So then we pick ourselves up by the bootstraps. Who's heard that phrase? I grew up with that phrase. Let's pick ourselves up by the bootstraps already, and we try it again. And we get it for a little while, but it doesn't take much, and we tumble and fall again. So as I was preparing for today, I started thinking about waiting and what we can learn when we wait on the Lord, because there must be something to strength and courage and waiting on the Lord, right? Let's see if they'll stay up. And this is what we do. We prop ourselves up. We use television, at least I do. Procrastination, remember from last week? That's my coping mechanism to make myself feel strong, because I'd rather procrastinate than go to the Lord. But waiting is a big deal, but waiting is no fun. So if we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 10 through 13, we read the story of David, the shepherd boy. And who, what, okay, so we'll do a little interactive. What do you remember most about David? Just what stands out to you most about David? You guys can reply to me today. He was a shepherd. Slingshotter. Yeah, he's pretty accurate with that. Fugitive. Handsome. Bible calls him ruddy and handsome. But he was also forgotten. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 10 through 13, It reads this: Jesse, that was David's dad, had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Ah, that's what Sarah remembered. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Some research says that it was a decade from the time he was anointed by Samuel to when he actually became king. So if you were ever promised something, someone said, "Someday you're going to do this," or "You're going to do this," and you expect it to be the next day. I've had that. I've had God whisper a promise or give me a vision. And I'm like, "Ooh, that's going to happen this year." And then it doesn't. And then another year goes by, and another year goes by. And what happens? I usually start to maybe dismiss what I thought I heard God say. Or maybe I start to doubt him. Or maybe I get a little disappointed. But David didn't just sit around twiddling his thumbs in a waiting room, waiting for the time when he actually became king. He became a leader. He worked for King Saul until King Saul decided to kill him. So how did he work for King Saul? He was a musician, and then he was also a warrior. Can you imagine? You don't often think of, you know, a leader of armies coming in and playing the harp, but that's what David did. Then he became a fugitive. And he was Saul's most wanted. And so he lived in caves. Went from the shepherd's field to a palace, to the battlefield, to the palace, to the caves. And he didn't just live alone, but he became a leader during that time because other rejected people from society, other outcasts, came and banded with him. So you have to be a leader, right? You have people who live on their own agenda coming to be under your leadership. You have to be a good leader in order to lead the men that don't fit into society. So he was active. He grew as a leader. He didn't go against God. He drew closer to God, and he grew courageous, all while he waited for the Lord. Psalm 27 is titled, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." David penned this particular psalm when he was with the Philistines, because after Saul wanted to kill him, he ran away to enemies, basically, the Philistines. And the Philistine king was like, "Ooh, this is that David that kills tens of thousands. So David grew afraid. And the Bible says he actually pretended to be crazy and let drool dribble down his beard and all of that fun stuff. But what Psalm 27 tells us is that he knows what it's like to face adversaries. He knows what it's like to be surrounded by enemies, and yet he still chose to seek God. When life wasn't going the way that he wanted, he chose to seek God. And he reminds himself that God will hide him and lift him above his troubles. And then he moves on to praise God. And then he asks God, "God, hear my cry." And then he declares his dedication: "God, I'm going to seek you despite my troubles." And then he also asks to be taught God's way. And he believes that he will still see God's goodness. If you've ever been in the waiting room of life, whether that came about because God promised you something and it felt like he took it away, or maybe you had an unexpected situation in your family or your work or your life that you're like, "I did not see this coming. This came out of nowhere. My life is on pause. What am I supposed to do?" We can be like David. We can grow strong. We can be courageous. I love to look up the Hebrew terms of words because I want to know, what did God mean when he said what he said? Because we can interpret the Bible, "Well, what does this mean to me? How does this fit my life?" But really, it's, what does God mean by this, and how can I fit into that? So we've got some keywords in our verse. We have wait. We have courage. This particular scripture that I had up on the screen said take heart, but there are other passages that say take courage. So we've got courage, we've got strength or strong, and we've got weight. Courage, I always thought, well, we'll just fake it till we make it, right? Courage is all about the mind. It's an undaunted mind within this context, an undaunted mind. So can we look at Romans 12, chapter 2? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many of you know that most of your life's battles take place up in here? Right? Am I the only one? Nod your heads if your battles take place up in here. Yeah. This is where the battles take place. We struggle with disappointment, disillusionment, and be discouraged. I call them the three big D's. And they're big because they can impact our walk with God in a detrimental way unless we do what we need to do to be strong and courageous. There's a verse, I'm trying to remember, I think it is Romans, that when our hope is in God, he can't disappoint us. So usually when I'm disappointed by life or by something that's happened, it's a good indication that maybe I've transferred my hope from God to something that could happen or didn't happen. And so it's a great, great litmus test for me when I'm dealing with disappointment. Be like, okay, Lord, where did I get off the little track? Did I put my hope in your outcome or what I hoped you would do for my prayer? Or is my hope in you? Because if my hope is in you, I can't be disappointed. But I am. I sometimes am. Also with this transforming by the renewing of our mind is about remembering his faithfulness. We have these rocks up here. I don't know how, a couple summers ago, didn't we do these rocks? Maybe for some of you that weren't here then, we don't know what these rocks are. Pastor Larry had us bring rocks and write evidences of God's faithfulness on our lives. So you've got words like here, like safety, the way, the truth, and the life, Almighty God. When we take the time to remember his acts of faithfulness, we can encourage our own selves when we're dealing with the struggles of life or the waiting rooms of life. Last Saturday, I was at a training, and I learned a little bit about the brain. So we're going to, and this is the demonstration that the lady used about the brain, and what was so fascinating to me is how brain science backs up what God's word says. So you've got this part of your brain, this part, it's your prefrontal cortex. This is where all of your reasoning, your logic, and everything makes sense. Behind that is this limbic area. That's your emotions. That's where you feel things. And then down here is your brainstem. And this is what activates when you're afraid or you're dealing with something hard. This is where you get the fight, the flight, the freeze, and the fawn response. We all are familiar with flight or fight, right? Fight. We fight. Flight, we run away. We freeze. We can't do anything. Fawn is a new term where it's really rooted in people pleasing, but that is a different aspect. What was most important to me was about these three different areas of the brain need three separate things in order to pop out of that freeze or flight, pop out of that, because when we're disappointed with life and we're stuck in life's waiting room, we are going to have an emotional response. It's normal. If we don't, we should. If we are going to have a difficult thing that we face, we are going to experience the freeze, flight, freeze, etc. mode. But listen, the brainstem down here needs safety. Who is our refuge? God is our refuge. So when we remember and we take part that God is our refuge, we pop out of that brainstem and we get into this limbic area. The limbic area needs connection. It needs connection. Who is with us all the time? God is with us all the time. And then that prefrontal cortex, that's where you can do the reasoning. So then you can remember, oh yeah, God said to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to obey. I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. So this courage right here, it's that undaunted mind. It's being aware that our battles take place up in here, to understand how the brain works. That all of a sudden, if you feel like you've forgotten everything that you've ever learned about God, you've forgotten every declaration that you've made and promise that you've made to Him, go back to God is my refuge. I can run to Him. I can connect with Him. Okay, now I can walk by faith. Now I can be strong and courageous. So secondly, we have strength. So strong means to be firm. So when you think of something firm, I don't think of Jell-O. I just don't. I don't think of waves, you know, crashing on the shore and the tide going in and out. That's constant. That's not firm. When I think of firm, I think of a mountain or a rock or an immovable toddler that won't release what's in their hands. Or myself, when I don't want to give up something, and I'm like, no, God, I'm not going to do it. Firm. Colossians 1:11, if we could take a look at that. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. So where does our strength come from? It's His power. It's His power. When we have to wait for the Lord, we get to pause in our frantic hamster wheel life and realize, oh, wait, I can't be strong on my own. It has to be God's power within me. When we are weak, He is strong, but we have to be willing to admit we're weak. In order to be strong, we have to remember that we can't conjure strength and power. Even if we can, what is Blake bench press? He's always coming home with his stats. He's getting stronger and stronger, which is great, your physical strength. This is talking about an internal strength. We need to learn to be firm, not to be moved. I didn't put this up here, but this verse cracks me up. So I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory. So I can't is kind of cute in a toddler, right? You know, it's kind of cute. Not as cute when they're 10 and 11. Less cute when they're 16, 17, but really not cute when you're 48. But how often do we say, I can't do that, God. That's too hard. You want me to trust you in this situation? It's too hard. You want me to walk by faith and not by sight? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to sit down on this rock and wait till you bring the light to me. I found this verse. It's 1 Corinthians 16:13. It cracked me up. It says, be watchful, stand firm, act like adults, be strong. So often, we can do a disservice to our strength or the strength that God wants to do in us with our unwillingness to be firm, unwillingness to be strong. So let's really dive into the word wait, because that's why we're here, right? Everyone must like to wait in a waiting room, yeah? No. So I'm going to confess a little story. So I get my groceries in Fairway in Sioux Center, and I usually have a big cart. There's one person that bags that I like, oh, I think that person's working at that lane. I'm going to this lane. Because I do this for a long time, waiting for my groceries to get bagged. And there was a time where I did that, and she came over to my side. So I'm like, I have to wait. And if you know me, I don't like to wait. I'm like one speed rabbit speed. But the Lord is teaching us how to wait in those little things. But let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31. And it is up there, but if you want to look it up, I think this verse to me is highlightable. So if you like to write in your Bibles, I think this is worth underlining. All right. It says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. When I was studying this particular verse, I learned that waiting is active. Waiting isn't sitting around waiting for God to show up and shine a light into your darkness. He's already there. And he might not be giving you the full spotlight. He might just be giving you a dim flashlight, but he's still giving you the light enough to take the next step. So waiting is very active. It's trusting the Lord completely and serving him faithfully while you're waiting. It's not like a waiting room. There is no waiting room with the Lord. We serve him while we're waiting on him. We can turn to him quickly. That's waiting. Knowing that he will provide what we need in his perfect time. When we wait on him with this active trust and faithful service to him, we gain the ability to rise above our difficulties. And we gain strength. Strength. To run spiritually without tiring and to make steady progress when it seems God's plans are delayed. How many are waiting for God's plans and they seem delayed? I'm going to raise my hand. If y'all aren't, that's awesome. Can I come talk to you? Waiting is active. I'd like us to turn to Matthew 25, verses 14 and 30. This is the parable of the talents, and if you're familiar with this story, Jesus told this story to give a spiritual lesson. But it's a story of a master who has three servants, and the master gives talents, a certain amount to each servant. Two of the talents got busy after the master went away, and one servant didn't. I want us to think about that for a minute. Now, I know God doesn't ever leave us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. But I think he gives us opportunity to obey. It's kind of sometimes makes me think about when my little ones were really little, like toddler, and I was trying to teach them no or try to teach them to obey me. If I like hovered, some of them wouldn't obey me. But if I stepped back and gave them a little bit of room to decide, a little bit of room, then they obeyed. But I never left them. I never left the room. Now, I had to start early because we had baseboard heaters, so, you know, it was a safety issue. So they had to learn. But I think of that with us. Sometimes God says, I've given you this gift of faith. I want you to develop it. Or I've given you this opportunity to develop joy in your life. I want you to develop it. But I'm going to be with you, but I'm not going to do it for you. And so we get an opportunity. Are we going to be like the two servants that doubled what the master had given them? Or are we going to be like the servant that just basically sat on his hands, do-do-do-do-do, waiting for the master to come back? We get to choose. I just thought that that was a great word picture of what it looks like to wait on the Lord, that it's active faith. It's actively serving him. So it leads me to this question. What has God given you that you need to take courage for, that you need to be strong for? Maybe he's calling you to replace grumbling with rejoicing. Maybe he's calling you to replace doubt with belief. Maybe he's calling you to think positive thoughts. Think about how, I wonder how he's going to prove his faithfulness instead of worrying that he's not. Because we all have these wonderful individual journeys. I love coming to church together. I love this corporate get-together of the body of Christ. Because it's like, ah, my brothers and sisters in arms. Because I picture us, when we leave these doors, I picture us each in a field with a plow and a horse. I know. And we're each of us are plowing our own little row that God has given us. And sometimes we have big rocks to deal with, and sometimes we have mud to deal with, and sometimes the horse gets lame or we get tired. But I know in my mind's eye that you're over there in that field. I might not be able to see you on Monday morning, but I know you're over there living for Jesus, working for Jesus, loving Jesus. And it encourages me. And then when we come together on Sunday, I'm like, oh, yay, my fellow plowers, how you doing? How's it going waiting for God? So back to our verse for today. Psalm 20, wait, where am I trusting God? So instead of why am I not over there, God, but more of where am I trusting you? So, how do we wait on the Lord? And if you're a note taker, this is the part that I really want you to take home. I want you to keep your faith through trusting God and experiencing His goodness for yourself. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Larry talked about how we need to chase our own encounter with God. He gives us this, of course. And I'm so encouraged by the stories in there. And I'm encouraged when I hear the stories of God's faithfulness in your life. But we also need to have stories of God's faithfulness in us. So the first step, keep your faith through trusting God and experiencing His goodness. Secondly, keep the focus of your spiritual eyes on God. Remember, we see two different ways. We see with our physical eyes. You know, we see where life is hard and where life is bad and where life is good. But we also see we have to look with our spiritual eyes. So keep the focus of your spiritual eyes fixed on God, where He remains bigger than your problems, where He remains bigger than your fears, where He remains bigger than anything that you could fear or encounter. And then thirdly, keep on patiently waiting for the Lord. So keep on. Don't quit. Don't give up. He is faithful. Be faithful. Let His faithfulness to you be your example of what faithfulness looks like. Because truly faithful believers will continue to pursue a deeper relationship with God no matter their feelings or circumstances. And I know that is hard. I know it is hard to do. It can feel impossible. When life has just had the rugs flipped out from under you, where things are not going the way that you thought they should go, things that you prayed that they would go, they're not going that way at all. But pursue a deeper relationship with Him no matter what. And ask yourself, where am I trusting God? Spurgeon says this, wait at His door with prayer. Wait at His feet with humility. Wait at His table with service. Wait at His window with expectancy. Waiting, all of that is active, isn't it? Prayer is active. Waiting at His feet is active. Waiting, serving Him is active. And expecting Him is active. You know, these stayed up pretty good, right? But they don't if their foundation gets a little bit wiggly. But look what happens. Instead of trying to be strong and courageous on our own strength, look what happens when we wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take courage. Wait on the Lord. It doesn't matter if I bump this table, the books aren't going to fall. It's tempting to want to be strong in our own strength. It's tempting to think that, well, I just got to fake the courage. Act courageous, but not have an undaunted mind. Let's wait on the Lord so that our mind is strong, so that we can face the difficulties in life with courage and strength. I love how the Lord gives us instructions, and then he doesn't say, oh, you're on your own to try and figure it out. He's with us. He takes a willing heart, and he says, I'm gonna be right there with you, sons and daughters. I want you to sit at my feet. I want you to look for me with expectancy. I want you to seek me in prayer. We're going to end our service in a time of prayer, praise, our song. And it's a song that invites you to look into Jesus' face, to turn your eyes from whatever it is that's distracting you today, to fix your spiritual eyes on God. And then what I'd like to do is if you want prayer afterwards, I will be up front, and I would love to pray for you. Because I know life requires strength and courage. And the key to that is waiting on the Lord. And I would be honored to pray for you this morning. So if we can, let's stand.